stand. Please take your Bibles today and turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 35. We've been in the book of Genesis for some time now. Hopefully you've gained a good insight in the life of Abraham and Isaac and now in Jacob, and how God's using them and changing them and showing them the things they need that they may be in God's will. And hopefully that is the case in your life, that you recognize that God is there and that he is changing you to use you for his honor and glory. And so again, in Genesis chapter 35, I'd like to read just a short bit of this. It says in verse 1, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise and go to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, that thou appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that were among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make thee an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way that I went. And they gave unto Jacob their strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him, and built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's wife's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under the oak, and the name of that place is called Alon Bakuth. And God appeared unto Jacob again, and when he came out of Paddan Aram, he blessed him, and God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall thy name be called. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee. And the kings shall come out of thee and thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it. And to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. Father, we thank you today for all that you do. Thank you, Lord, for being amongst us and convicting us and guiding us and leading us in the place that we need to be. And so, Lord, today we pray for holy conviction in our life, for each of us, Lord, that we may understand your will for us and do that with all of our heart. Lord, I pray that you give me unction this morning to speak your truth with boldness and clarity. Lord, I pray for the ears of those that would hear, that they would recognize and understand the words that need to be said. And Lord, they would just act upon that with all their heart. Help us, Lord, when we leave this place, knowing that we're in your will, doing those things that you called us to do. Bless us today. Thank you, Lord, for that promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, you may have heard about the fella. He was spending some time with his buddies. He got rather late that night, and he looked at his clock and said, oh, my goodness, I got to get. Jumps in his car and takes off. He is flying down the road past a police officer. The police officer turns his lights on, pulls him over, and says, Mister, where are you going this late so fast? He said, sir, I'm going to a lecture. He said, a lecture? Who gives a lecture this late at night? He said, my wife. Have you ever been on the idea when you read God's word and it feels like a lecture? I wonder if Jacob felt as God was lecturing him and causing him to be downtrodden and not really doing what he needs to be doing. I wonder if Jacob was worried about if he was where he needed to be at, and that when God speaks to him, it was more of a lecture than really a come and fellowship with me. Hopefully today, as you look at this passage and understand, you'll recognize God is not in the lecturing business all the time, but is a God that desires fellowship and compassion, a God that desires for you to be with him, to do his will, because of the greatness of God, and his will do mighty things. And so let me just share a few things with you this morning out of this passage that really speak to our life. One, there's the conversation of God, the conversation of God. When you read verse 1, it says, and God said unto Jacob. And God said unto Jacob. Please don't miss this. This is an almighty God speaking to man. We tend to look at the Bible and think about, well, God spoke to those guys in certain ways in those days, and we fail to recognize that God still speaks to us today. And so we need to understand about the speaking of God and the revealing of God to himself, to others. that God is revealing himself and his plans for not just Jacob, but for us as well. And so here's what I want you to understand about God speaking. One, it is the Lord who initiates the conversation. It is the Lord who initiates the conversation. It is God who calls out to Jacob. It is God that reaches out first to Abraham and then to Isaac and then to Jacob, calling him. God is always the initiator of the relationship between himself and us. I like 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. God initiates contact with us. Romans 5, 8, but God commends his love toward us, and yet that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. We find that God simply takes the first step and wants us to be with him. And I'm telling you, the Lord still initiates conversation today and reveals himself and his will to us. You say, I would like to hear from God. Well, let me just tell you, God speaks in many different ways, and I quickly want to go through these, but I think it's important. God, one, speaks to us by his creation. The psalmist said in Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament show his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night to night shows knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. And so we recognize today that, yes, God does speak through nature, that God does reveal himself, that God makes himself known. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We recognize God speaks to us by the things that he has made. But maybe even more important than that, God speaks to us by the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. 2 Peter 1, verse 21 says this, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men spake as God, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We recognize that God gave the Word of God to us that we may hear and know his desires. Thirdly, he speaks by others that are close fellowship with him. And through the Spirit of God, God uses people to simply speak to us. And so let me remind you, when you think about those guys that are close to the Lord, make sure you get your godly advice from them. Recognize that God gives spiritual advice from others that are close in fellowship and close in step with him. We must recognize that God still speaks to us today. But probably even more important than that, God speaks to us in moments of prayer. Yes, he still speaks to us. I see answered prayer time and time again. And God gives us a peace that is above all assurance. We recognize that God speaks. And so we understand that he initiates a conversation with us. The psalmist said in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in all the earth. We recognize God still speaks. But secondly, in this idea, not just the Lord initiates conversation, but the Lord gives instruction through that conversation. Not only does he speak, but he gives us instruction on how to live and how to go and do. And that's what he does to this man named Jacob. Notice verse 35, and God said unto Jacob, arise and go to Bethel. Sooner or later, when God speaks, he always calls us to action. He calls us to love. He calls us to follow him. But then there's specific things that God speaks to us and gives us a request, just as he did Jacob. Notice first, God gave him a destination. Go back to Bethel. That was the place that God first met with him. That was the place that God supernaturally just was around him. Why Bethel again? Because he had an encounter with the Lord. If you remember in Genesis 28, he has a dream and he sees the ladder there and recognizes the Lord above the ladder. It was a time when God had met with him. That's why he called it Bethel, the house of God. And so we need to recognize that God calls us to understand it and follow him, to be in a place that we first met with the Lord. A place of salvation, a place of hope, a place of confidence, a place of covenant. Remember, God said in chapter 28, I will do something for you. I will give you. I will bless you. So maybe you're here today and you've gotten away from where you should be. Maybe you have left the place where God has called you to be. Maybe you feel like you're far away from God. I'm telling you, God is calling you back to that first encounter. You know, I love people being baptized last week and the week before. It's neat to see people and just their face as they go down and come out. Just that expression, it's like, man, they feel God's presence. But here's what I always tell them. We always meet in the room over here, and I said, you know, there's going to be a time when you leave this place. It may be a week, it may be a month or year or 10 years, but sooner or later, you're going to get out of the will of God, and you're going to wonder, am I truly saved? Am I truly a follower of Christ? And I point back, hey, remember the day you were baptized. It was a day that you recognized God's salvation. It was a day that you recognized God's will, and you followed in believer's baptism, and you made a marker. That's what God's saying. Go back to Bethel. Go back to the place where I first met you. But not just a destination, but notice what he says in verse 1, to dwell there. He had been living in the land of the heathen for almost 30 years, 28 years to be exact. God had called him, and he went back home, and now he was making his journey, and he had taken his own sweet time. He had served 20 years for Laban, and now God had told him to come back, and now he's almost 8 years after that before he's finally needing to be where he should be. Don't miss the point that God had a place for Jacob. And again, let me just tell you, maybe you're here and you're saved, but you've gotten away from where you need to be at. Recognize God is calling you back to a place, to a dwelling place where you can recognize how sweet God is. It may be the church. It may be around some people, but God's calling you to do something. But thirdly, not just go back home and not just dwell there, but build an altar. Again, verse 1, middle it says, and make there an altar unto God. Do you know he did that many, many years before? He'd made an altar 28 years before. Why build another altar? Well, maybe that altar had been moved. Maybe that stone that he set up had been destroyed. Maybe it was lost. Or maybe he just needed a fresh encounter with a holy God. A fresh encounter as he builds a new altar and a new time that he can dedicate himself to simply serving the Lord. I'm telling you, if you're here today, and maybe your life's a little bit stale, maybe your life's a little bit stagnant, maybe your life's not as what it should be, recognize God's calling you to do something, to build that altar, to worship him in spirit and truth. God is calling. And by the way, let me just remind you, that altar that he built was not to be worship, was a place of worship. When you read Exodus chapter 20, I'm not reading you all that. But just know, God wants us to have a place of worship. Again, what is God asking you to do? What is God calling you to do in his conversations? I wonder, will you allow God to speak to your heart in the next few minutes? And will you hear God's word and simply do what he says as you read it from the pages in this Old Testament? Well, not just the conversation with God that we find, but secondly, we find the compliance of Israel, the compliance of Israel. Jacob will follow the commands of the Lord, but he knows there's some things in his life that are just not right. God's calling him to come back, but he understands there's some things that are not as they should be. Notice verse 2. And Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments. Verse 3, let us arise and go up to Bethel. We find that Jacob recognizes something that he needs to be close to God. There's some things that need to be left behind. To be close to God, there's some things that need to be cast away. And so notice the casting away of idols, the casting away of idols. Put away the strange gods, he says in verse 2. Put away the false gods. Now, if you're like me, I often think about false gods. The golden calf immediately comes to mind, and we think about the people in Israel as they left Egypt, and they built this golden calf, the idol. They were serving the idol of the calf instead of God. But let me remind you that we also have idols in our life. And if you're not careful, they'll take precedence. If you're not careful, you'll be an idol worshiper rather than a worship of the one true God. So an idol is not something made of stone or steel as it was in the Old Testament. I just had this thought. An idol is anything that steals attention from God and robs God of his glory. Let me say that again. An idol is anything that steals attention from God and robs God of his glory. That idol can be self. That idol can be athletics. That idol can be material things. That idol can be politics. That idol can be anything that robs God of his honor and glory. And we should be attentive to understand that God wants us to put away those things that steal that from God. And so we recognize that God wants us to cast away the idols in our life. But not just the casting away of idols, but the cleansing from the wickedness. The cleansing from wickedness. He says in verse 2, be clean and change your garments. They had a ritualistic cleansing by bathing and changing their garments to show that something had happened in their life. When you read Exodus chapter 19, verse 10, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go to the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. This washing was a picture of getting rid of the wickedness or the sin in their life. And so we recognize that we too need this cleansing to put away those things that are not right. I'm sure today most of us came in with clean clothes. From yesteryear, they used to preach that you may not have this or that, but at least come in with clean clothes and honor the Lord. But the psalmist reminds us that we need to wash more than the clothes. Psalms 51:2 says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop in verse 7, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16 says, wash and you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And then 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to be clean today. Christ Jesus can take that and remove it from us to wash us as we should. The songwriter says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. See, today we don't have to change our clothes and wash in a tub. We can be cleaned by Christ Jesus himself. When we simply accept what Christ has done for us and believe on him and trust him, oh, how good it is. There is a cleansing waiting for us. I like that picture found in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. When he made his way home, he had been living in the hog pens. But when his father sees him and he runs to him, there's some things that he said and brought to him. Verse 22 says, and the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. There's a picture of the old being taken away and the new being wrapped around. We need a cleansing today that comes by Christ Jesus. But that doesn't stop there. Not just the casting away of the idols and the cleansing for the wickedness, but now the completion of the journey. Now, you may just read right past this, but this is really good. Jacob takes a step of faith, and the Lord is right there with him. God's called him to go back to where he needs to be at, and he finally starts and does that. But notice, he was helped by the Lord. Verse 5 says, and as they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. There was a fear there because they had to pass through enemy territory. And the thought was, when you pass through somebody's territory, the people of that territory would come out and make war against you and maybe kill you or take you captives or take your animals. But the fear of the Lord was on those cities. God placed a fear around about him so they would not be attacked. And the thought is this, where God guides, God provides. If you're here today and need to take a step of faith, I'm telling you, God's going to help you out. If you're here today and you're willing to follow him, God will surround you. If you're here today and need to simply do his will, he is always able and willing to help you do those things. Do not ever worry about following the Lord's will. He will be with you. But also, he made it home. Verse 6 says, so Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. God said, go. He stepped out by faith, does, and God brings him home. See, God has a desire that we walk by faith too, that we step out and make it to the destination he's called us to be. And so I'm telling you, as Jacob was called, so are we. So I wonder, have we followed the commands of the Lord? Have we been faithful to those commands? Have you entered into that covenant as Jacob did, us by Christ Jesus? Do you need to put off some things Do you need a time of confession to get rid of those sins? Are you where God wants you to be? Well, notice the third thing. Not just the conversation with the Lord, not just the compliance by Israel, but thirdly, the covenant for Israel. Now, you're going to see a pattern in Jacob's life, as you did in Isaac's life, as you did in Abraham's life. God speaks, the believer responds, the believer responds, and God speaks over and over again. God speaks, the believer responds, and God speaks. That circle that God has for us. So notice, he gets to the land of Canaan, to the place of Bethel. And then verse 9, we find the reappearing of the Lord. The reappearing of the Lord. Verse 9 says, and God appeared unto Jacob again. Now remember, his first appearance, same place, Genesis 28, he said, I'm going to be with you. Matter of fact, let me read that, verse 15. And behold, I am with you, and I will keep you in all the places where you go, and I will bring you again to this place, for I will not leave thee until I've done that which I have spoken to thee of. He's had several encounters since that first encounter, and he recognizes that God is with him. He had seen the ladder there. He'd seen the band of angels. He had a wrestling match with the angel of the Lord. And all along, God gives him a glimpse of his glory to keep him on that right path. It is always good to feel God's presence or have and understand that he is always with you. Why? Because what the Bible says in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? God shows himself again unto Jacob. But secondly, not just the reappearing of the Lord, but now the renaming of Jacob. Verse 10, and God said unto him, thy name is Jacob, thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall thy name be called. And he called his name Israel. And you look back at chapter 32, and you thought, well, I thought he already did this. I thought in that wrestling match in chapter 32 that he already changed his name. I thought all that was done with. Well, there's a problem with Jacob. His name had been changed to Israel in chapter 32, but he's still living like Jacob. He had been changed, he'd been given a new name, but he still acts like the old man at times. We need to recognize and understand. You say, well, how did he do that? Well, look at his families. His families have idols. They have wickedness in their life. He's had to command them to get rid of those things. He's not been firm in his stance on the things that were right in the sight of the Lord. And so we may be in that same path, that same boat. That God's called us, he has given us a new name, he has changed us, and yet sometimes we walk like the old man. And so we should turn and allow God to lead and guide us. Just know we're in good company. The psalmist said this, David the psalmist said this in Psalms 86:5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy to all them that call upon thee. And so if you're here today and God saved you, and you know that, but you have walked away, and you're living like Jacob instead of Israel. If you're living like the unbeliever at times instead of the believer, just confess those things before him. Call upon him. He wants to call you by the right name, and so he will. That is why Sundays are so good, as we enter in the Lord's house to link arm in arm and recognize that God is for us to build and encourage each other to do those things that are right and call each other by that name. Christian and live out that life. So there's the reappearing of the Lord. There's the renaming of Jacob. But thirdly, there's a reaffirming of the covenant. Verse 11. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. He remembered his promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, same promise. He remembers his promise in chapter 17. He remembers his promise to Isaac in chapter 26. Over and over again, God makes a promise that he will not forget. And now he states that same promise to Jacob as he had said that he would. And notice the promise, the covenant is not based on Jacob. It is based on the Lord. It is from the power of God. It is an unconditional promise that God makes with his people that he will carry it through. How do I know that? How can I be sure that God will accomplish this? Verse 11 again says, I am God Almighty. There is nothing that he cannot do. But now let me tell you this. There's a purpose to the covenant also. It's just not that God just wants to bless, but he has a purpose for blessing Israel and a purpose for blessing us. Verse 12 says, "And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it." And if you stop right there, you say, well, he's going to bless him. But notice this, "And to thy seed after will I give the land." Not just to this man, but all those that follow him. God rarely blesses us and lets that blessing stop with us. God rarely blesses us and says, all right, I'm done. But no, instead, he wants us to take that blessing and be a blessing to others around us. If you back up to chapter 28, it says this about, he was speaking to this man named Jacob. "And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." All the families of the earth shall be blessed. Why? Because through the line of Jacob, through the line of Israel, comes Christ Jesus, the Messiah, that was given for the whole world. And so before we move on, let me just ask you, have you entered into that covenant with the Lord? Not a covenant of the Old Testament, doing those different things, but a covenant through Christ Jesus by calling upon the name of Christ. When the Lord initiates, when the Lord draws, when the Lord speaks to you, why not simply say yes and say it today? I wonder, have you ever called upon the Lord to save you? Are you a believer today and not living like one? Is your life a blessing to others? Those are some questions we must ask. Are we in God's will? Well, here's the fourth thing I want you to see. Not just the conversation and the compliance and the covenant to Israel, but the celebration by Israel. When you read verse 13, it says, "And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him." Verse 14 says, "And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon and poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel." That word Bethel is the house of God, and we recognize something neat happens there. It is the idea of worship. It is the idea that God did something, and then this man, Jacob, or Israel, you may say, responds to him. It is a time when he pours out this idea of who he was. You see, the drink offering was this idea of everyday necessity. That's how things went. But the oil was out of an abundance. And so it's his whole life. The necessities of life and the abundance all come from God. Now, I want you today to have that same thought about your life, that God gives in great ways, and we should be a poured out offering to him. So how can we do that? Well, notice this. Worship involves evaluation. If you go back to verse 3, he says this, "Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make thee an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went." The reason he can pour out his life before the Lord, because he looks back and recognizes God had already blessed him. I'm telling you, yesterday I just had a time where I was looking back like, God has blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed through troubles and trials and hardships. And all my life, I can look back and see the hand of God helping me and moving me in the right directions. And I bet if you look, you can say the same thing about your life, that God has blessed you and helped you in mighty ways. That's why we worship today, because of our evaluation. We look back and see God has helped us. It's sad to think about. This world says, what have you done for me lately? If God never did anything else for me, I would still praise his name. He has done enough for me, and I am so thankful. Worship involves evaluation. But secondly, worship involves expectation. Verse 11 says, "And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful, multiply. A nation and company of nations shall be of thee." And then he goes on to say, "I will give you the land." That had not happened yet, but Jacob believed it. Jacob understood it. Jacob recognized that God, even though it wasn't already done, it was as if it was done already, because God was able and would make good on his promise. I'm telling you, we can worship today because of our expectations. We can look forward and see what God is doing and see what God has promised for every believer. Now, I'm reminded that we want to look at the material world, but I'm looking much further. There's a day in glory when we're going to stand with him and praise his great name. There's a place called heaven that God has for us, and he's going to do the same thing for Jacob. Notice Genesis 35, verse 28. And the days of Isaac were gathered, were 104 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered to his people. Let me read that again. And Isaac died and was gathered unto his people. And so he recognized that his father Isaac was gathered. And we're going to see the same thing about Jacob, that when he dies, he's going to be gathered to his people. A place we'll call heaven for us. We can worship today because our life, when it ends here, is not the end. It's only the beginning. How good it is. We can worship today because of expectation in our life. But thirdly, worship involves an earnest offering. When you read verse 14, again, here's what he does. He sets up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon and poured oil thereon. I've mentioned the necessity of life and the abundance of life. It was who he was. From everything that he had, he pours out by those two things. And I like what the Apostle Paul said about his life, and I think it should be applied to us. When we look back and see those things, what God has done and what he's promised to do, we should be poured out as well. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, "For I'm now ready to be offered." That idea is pour out, for my time of departure is at hand. Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, he says almost the same thing. "Yea, and if I be offered, that is poured out upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." And then Romans chapter 12 speaks about us. He says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." That sacrifice is pouring yourself out before the Lord. We should recognize and understand that we need to be a sacrificial offering to the Father. You say, "Oh, that's kind of tough." Let me remind you, God always takes the first step. God always initiates. God always does the things first, and then we do. God's already sacrificed himself, made an offering of himself, and then invites us to join him. I wonder, will we be a living sacrifice today? Will we pour out our lives before him and simply do his good will? So let me end with this. Is there anything in your life that is contrary to the will of God? Put it aside. Is there anything in your life that is against the will of God? Put it aside. Is there anything in your life pulling you away from him? Put that aside. Is there anything in your life he has said to do and you're not? Have the courage to step up, to pour out your life, to follow him and understand his will. Oh, how your life will be blessed in a great way. The songwriter says, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still, with all who will trust and obey." Jacob trusted in the Lord. And it's been thousands of years, and we still remember his name, because he was a man that became faithful. A man that was a deceiver, a man that was a thief and a robber, you may say. But his life was turned around by the hand of God. That same thing needs to be said of us, how God changes us. And it starts with God and then us trusting and obeying him. God's calling today. I wonder, will you respond? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes just for a moment, and think about what God wants you to do. It is so easy in the invitation time just to simply turn this time off. Just to turn down the volume, to tune things out, and to say, "I'm good." Jacob, for 28 years, had kind of wandered around. Maybe he too had turned down the volume, but God keeps turning it back up, speaking to Jacob, wanting him to follow. If that is you this morning, why not listen? Jesus said, "Let him that has ears hear." If you're here today and need him to respond by faith to Christ, he is calling you. Maybe for the first time, you recognize your sins and simply say something like this: "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive my sins. Come into my life and save me." God is able if you'll trust him. Maybe you are saved this morning and you're just wandering around, not where you need to be at. Cry out to God. Let him give you direction. He'll take you to the spot you need to be. Maybe it's at this altar this morning on your knees. Maybe in your chair this morning, pray to him. Ask him to help you. Maybe this morning is church membership and God's called you to this place to serve. Simply walk forward in the invitation song and say, "I want to be a part of Sardis." We'll talk more about that. Maybe it's prayer at this altar at front and God's calling you here. Whatever it is, don't miss the opportunity to be in step with the Lord and to do His good will. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for all that You do. Thank You, Lord, for the Word that gives guidance. Help us be a people that follow that with all of our heart. Help us to not tune You out, but simply listen. Move mightily this morning in all of our hearts. Convict us, guide us, and lead us that we may be where we need to be at. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen.